Welcome to BrandonVaught.com, where I'm excited to interview a good friend of mine today, Devin Rose. Devin was raised in an atheistic home until he got to college in the year 2000, and he befriended a group of Southern Baptists who introduced him to Christianity and led him to a personal relationship with Jesus. Over the next year, Devin meticulously researched the roots and traditions of Christianity and slowly made his way from evangelical Protestantism to Catholicism. He entered the church in 2001. Since then, he's worked as a software developer by day and a Christian apologist by night. He's appeared on several Catholic television and radio shows, including The Journey Home. His whole conversion story was filmed for that show, and the episode will air on April 21st, which is the Monday immediately following Easter. Devin also writes a popular blog at St. Joseph's Vanguard. Today, however, we're discussing his new book, which is titled, The Protestant's Dilemma, How the Reformation's Shocking Consequences Point to the Truth of Catholicism. The book was just published by Catholic Answers and has quickly received rave reviews as a go-to resource for Protestant apologetics. So before we begin discussing the book, Devin, I wanted to say thank you. It's always great to talk to you, and welcome.
Thanks, Brandon. It's great to see you again, and you and I have been friends for a long time, so this is fun to do this almost as in a more official or formal context.
Now, one thing I've always appreciated about your work, and it comes out very clearly in this new book, is your charitable tone. I think even Protestants will read this book and find it devoid of polemics or caustic attacks. Instead, it's very even-handed and respectful. And from what I know of your story, that attitude is born of your own experiences with Protestantism and your relationships with Protestant friends, most of which have been overwhelmingly positive. And so let's begin on a positive note here. What's been the value and the benefits of Protestantism in your own experience in life?
Well, I can't underscore it. I can't underestimate it, or I should say overstate it, because my Protestant friends were, as you point out, instrumental in me becoming a Christian. They bore witness to the great joy that comes from knowing Jesus. And that is that witness was a primary way that I even thought that Christianity was a plausible alternative to atheism. So in addition to that, as you know, the tremendous truths within Protestantism that we share, or that they share with us as Catholics, you know, the Holy Trinity, all the Christological doctrines, 66 out of 73 books of the inspired Word of God. So there's so much good in Protestantism, including the fact that through their valid baptisms, they have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, you know, is working in them. People come to faith in Jesus through them. All these things. There's so much good there that in spite of the errors in Protestantism, we have to recognize all of the many positive and good and true things as well. And that's in my book. I hope to try to do that.
Now, in the book, you approach the claims of Protestantism in a unique way, using a technique that philosophers call the reductio ad absurdum. Using this technique, you first begin by assuming that the claims of Protestantism are true, and then you examine the logical consequences of these beliefs. However, when you show that the logical consequences are untenable, you then reveal how the original principles and claims of Protestantism must therefore be false. Now, why did you choose this approach, and why is it effective?
Well, it's kind of funny because you were the one who actually pointed out that that was the technique I was using. I didn't know that reductio ad absurdum was that there was a name, you know, for this until you said it one time, I think, in your initial review. And I said, hey, that's pretty cool. But as an engineer, and you as a fellow engineer, my mind thinks in that logical type of way. And I went back and thought about it. In my sophomore year in high school, I did geometry. And in geometry, you would do a set of proofs where you would say, let's assume that, you know, a triangle has four sides, right? And then you would go down there and realize, oh, then the the degrees and angles don't work out, and therefore, you know, the triangle must not have four sides. It must have three, and that style always just sort of came to me. And when I worked on the book, well, the arguments came out and fit in that mold. And then I thought, can I fit all my arguments into that mold? Can I think of new arguments that fit in that mold? And then that became sort of the red thread throughout the book. And I think it's very accessible to people. People understand it intuitively when you show them that, and that's what makes it effective for them.
You spend a sizable portion of the book on the canon of Scripture, which is not a weapon or form of artillery, but is merely a list, the list of books that make up the Bible or the table of contents in the Bible. Why does the canon of Scripture lie at the heart of the divide between Catholics and Protestants?
Great question. First and foremost, because of sola scriptura. So Protestants say that the authority is the Bible alone, the sole infallible rule of faith. Well, if that's true, we must know with conscience-binding certainty what books make up the Bible. So that is really the root of the tree. And yet, very few Protestants spend much time thinking about why they accept the 66 books they do, because really they've just inherited it or borrowed that belief from a Protestant tradition that modified the Catholic tradition. So the canon of Scripture as a Protestant became very important to me when I realized, why do I accept these 66 books? My Protestant friends gave me this Bible. I learned the Catholic Church had 73 books. One of them must be wrong, or both might be wrong. But as a Protestant, I knew I had to be able to defend those 66 books and know why they were inspired and none others were. But because of the way Protestantism defined its foundational doctrines, the only infallible rule of faith, the only infallible thing is the scriptural books themselves, none of which have a table of contents in them. And so there's no way to end up bootstrapping Protestantism to be able to get to sola scriptura. And so I look in the book at many of the arguments regarding the canon so that people can also see what whether it makes sense from a Protestant perspective to accept any canon of scripture, let alone the particular 66 books that they do.
You write in the book in one of the climactic sections that, quote, "lack of centralized authority is Protestantism's Achilles heel," end quote. What do you mean by that?
Well, we see it with Protestantism. They say Bible alone, sole infallible rule of faith, which then ultimately means the Bible, though, has to be interpreted. And so each interpretation ends up being put forth with some type of authority, and that's why we have all the different Protestant churches, because one opinion on the interpretation agrees from another, one pastor against another, one denomination against another. So you have that divisive nature built into the Protestant DNA, and we've seen its fruits after, you know, 490 years or however long it's been, that of what's happened, all this division, because there is no central authority who can bind the conscience of any Protestant, who can arbitrate between two Protestants who say, you know, John 6 means X and John 6 means not X. So that's what we see in Protestantism. And maybe that's the way God did it. Maybe God just said, yep, y'all are all going to, you know, just have your own opinions, and there's going to be a thousand different contradictory things, and no one really knows what's right. But you and I both come to realize through faith that, in fact, God did something better. And he gave us in the Catholic Church the magisterium, bishops in union with the Bishop of Rome, who is that central authority protected by the Holy Spirit from error that we can then make an assent of faith to. And that is a much more plausible and also much better situation.
Well, Devin, thanks again for joining me and discussing your new book, The Protestant's Dilemma. I was going to say If Protestantism is True, what are the original title?
The original.
Yeah, but The Protestant's Dilemma. Where can people go to find out more about you and the new book online?
New book, Catholic.com, Catholic Answers site. It's also at your Catholic bookstores and on Amazon. And then me, you mentioned my blog, St. Joseph's of Vanguard. You can find me there and a few other different group blogs around the internets.
Excellent. Well, for more interviews, articles, book reviews, and more, Stay tuned to brandonvaught.com. Thanks for tuning in.